So God has already promised that he's going to give you a future and a hope and expect it in. But the process begins of action steps of things you must take in order to receive that, because he's already done it. He's already finished everything that he said he's going to do. It is up to you and I, like Abraham, to accept and trust the promise that's already been laid out for us.
James chapter 1, verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The promises of God are true, certain, and forever unchanging. Oftentimes, our personal fear and doubt prevents us from moving forward and trusting God at his word. However, if you're listening today, Sister Rika McCray has a powerful message for you entitled, The Process. Come, let's join her as she explained.
Glory, 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 glory. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Because he loves us. Glory to God. I'm going to be teaching on and enduring in the process. And that is one of the ways to endure, is worship. Is surrender to God and to worship God. Glory to God. God loves us today. He is our everyday Valentine. Hallelujah. Pastor talked about process last week, and I was like, oh, Lord, he right there with me. We're flowing in the spirit. Well, we're going to talk about enduring in the process and the process of life, and hopefully I can stir you up and encourage you. I know Pastor Craig taught last week, and it was a powerful. He was encouraging us in the house, in this house, and so we come out of fast, as Sister was talking about, and, you know, gosh, even being in a fast is a process, hallelujah. But there's a lot of things that take place that we have to learn and to understand how to get through in life. And so I'm just going to talk about that. I'm going to try to make it a little short here. I got a long, long, long thing because, you know, it's a lot that can take place when you're in a process. And so we're going to pray, and we're just going to get into the word, if that's okay. Father, we thank you today, Lord God, and we lift your name on high, Almighty God. And Father, we welcome you to come in this house and, Lord, to have your way, however way you see, Father. You know the people that you drew here today. You know their needs. You know their wants. You know their circumstance, Father God. And so I'm asking you today, Lord, to use me as your vessel to speak into the hearts and lives of the people that you have placed in this place today, Lord God. Father, I'm going to decrease that you increase, and I have an agenda, but I'm going by your agenda, Lord God. I'm asking you to have your way, however way you see fit, that only you and you alone will get the glory in this place. And Father, we praise you, we thank you, and as we said out and sung it already, we love you, Lord, today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get a sip of water. I got a little dry throat going on. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So in the Word of God, if you know anything about our Lord, God always have a plan, right? He always have a plan. He's had one from the foundation of the world. In the beginning, in the garden, he had a plan with Adam, and they were to fellowship together. They were to be together and fellowship in the cool and to talk and just to have relationship. And so in the beginning, God also have a plan for you and I. You know, he has plans for us. And if we look at his word in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans that I have for you. God's plan is to do us well, to bless us, to keep us from harm, and to give us an expected end. You know, God has great things in store for us, and he's always had those things. He's a God of order. He's a God of direction, and he's a God of excellence. You know, and not that we're excellent people, but God is a God of excellence, but we strive for excellence because we operate in the fact that we are His in His image. And so with that, knowing that God has a plan, there's always going to be a process that has to come with that plan. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the process, the enduring in the process and the plan that God has for us, right? Because when He calls us, there begins a process. There's a plan. There's things that have to take place. There's things that take place that help us to press through to receive what God has for us. And so we know that God has done everything He's going to do, right? Because where is Jesus at? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, which means when He went to the cross and He left and rose, what did He say? It is finished. And so He said, greater works we're going to do, not that we're going to do things better than Christ, but because there's more of us, we will do greater works. But there's always a process that takes place. And so I want to talk about the process. But one of the people that I chose in the Bible to just kind of give a little bit of information on, because there's so much about him, is Abraham. And the reason why I chose Abraham is because Abraham, to me, I was more relatable to, as far as just being the person he was, you know, living in the land. I mean, when God called Abraham, he was worshiping idols, right? His family was idol worshipers. They lived all kind of ways. And not that I actually took and worshiped a particular idol like they did in those times. But if you have money or job or people that you have put before God, then you're worshiping an idol, right? And so I can relate to Abraham on that aspect. And then when God called Abraham, he also, you know, was in a situation where his brother had passed and he was taking care of Lot, his nephew, right? And so you can relate, as me and you, as family, that we might be where our family, we might be, you know, taking care of mother or sister or people and doing things, you know. And then if you look at Abraham's life, he went through a whole lot of things, you know. Sarah, his wife, was barren, right? She couldn't have any children. And so we might not be in a situation where we can't have any children, but in our lives, we might have been in a place where we were barren, where we couldn't produce any type of fruit because of the way we was living. So I can relate to Abraham in that aspect. And Abraham was just a normal person, just living life and just, you know, tending to the flocks and taking care of his family. But God called Abraham. He called Abraham to do great and mighty things for him, right? And He's called you and I. Jeremiah 29:11, we just read it. He has plans for us. He's called us to do great and mighty things. But when God called Abraham, and Abraham had to accept the call that God called him for, the process began, right? The process began. So let's look at this right here. Let's look at Genesis 12:1-3, and let's talk about what God said to Abraham. You guys got it? Okay. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Abraham, he heard the voice of God. But remember, Abraham was in a situation where they were idol worshipers, and there was a wicked city that he was living in. But Abraham heard the voice of God. So that tells me that the voice of God is powerful and more distinctive than any other voice. And so for Abraham to have been and sitting where he was at, he had to hear that that was God's voice. And he knew that it was God speaking to him. And it was apparent that he believed that it was God speaking to him and that it was God. And he had to believe that God made a promise to him. Abraham's call was a call to salvation and a call to service. God called Abraham to eternal life, a new life that began when he, by faith, trusted God's word. The call to salvation is a call to a new life. And many of us miss that truth. The call to salvation is a new life. When God called Abraham, we have to understand he called him to salvation and to service, because Abraham was in a wicked place worshiping idols. So first, before God had to call him, he had to receive that and believe it by faith that this was God calling him so that he can walk in the promises of God. And so we need to understand that, as well as believers, that when God calls us, we have to understand that it's God that's calling us, and we have to believe that it's God in order for us to receive the promises. You can't receive the promises without believing that it's God. You understand? And so Abraham showed us that even though he was in a place where he was in wickedness and idolatry, and his father was doing that. Because how many of us, we look up to our family members and those in our circle, because association creates desire. So if I'm associated with a certain group of people, I'm going to desire to be like that. And so Abraham had to have that type of association because his father was worshiping idols. But when God called him, he had to believe that it was God in order to accept and walk in the promises, right? We're talking about enduring in the process here. So before you and I can accept the promise of God, we have to believe God. That is so important. We have to believe God. We have to believe God. Abraham had to believe God in order to accept it. Mary had to believe what the angel of the Lord said to her in order for the Savior to come through her, right? We have to believe God. We have to believe. There's no other way. The moment Abraham believed and trusted what God told him to do, the process began. That moment that Abraham believed and trusted God, the process began. The process for him to get to what God said that he was going to be. He was going to be the father of many nations. Descendants are going to come from him. God's going to bless his hand, his land, prosper him. But this is what God told Abraham. And in the midst of him telling him, Abraham was sitting in a city with his family where idol worshipers were at, right? And so in order for him to get over there, he had to believe it, because sometimes we look at our situations and there's no way I'm going to get over there if I'm sitting in this. But the process begins once you believe God. You got to understand that. The process begins once you believe and trust God. What is a process? What we're talking about, Abraham believed God, but what is an actual process? We're all sitting in one, getting ready to go through one or coming out of one. That's life. A process is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end or result, right? Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So a process is a particular action or series of steps taken to get you an end result. So God has already promised that he's going to give you a future and a hope and expected end. But the process begins of action steps of things you must take in order to receive that. Because he's already done it. He's already finished everything that he said he's going to do. It is up to you and I, like Abraham, to accept and trust the promise that's already been laid out for us. That's why some can walk in the blessings and some don't. It's not because God is a respecter of person. It's just that this person said, "I believe what the word of God says, therefore I'm going to walk in the promises of God." That's why this person said that this is what God's word says, so I'm going to take him at his word and do it. This person's confessing the word, but they don't believe the word. There's a difference. You can't confess the word without believing and trusting the word, because you'll never get what the word says belongs to you. That's why so many are weak and feeble. It's not because God doesn't love them. He loves them just as much as he loves me and pastor and over here. He loves every one of us the same. He's not a respecter of person. He came to save us all. He said it's his desire that none of us perish. None of us perish. What a great God we serve. None of us perish. He loves every last one of us the same. But it's up to us to accept and believe what he said belongs to us. So a process, actions, or steps to achieve a particular result and a result. Abraham, like many of us in the Bible, have to go through a series of action steps in order to receive. If we read the story about Abraham, we would know that Abraham is the father of faith. He was called the father of faith. You will see about his descendants and how he accepted the call of God on his life and how he went through so many things and how he didn't tell the truth because he thought they were going to kill him when Sarah was, he was in the town and they were journeying because God told him to get up and leave, and the Egyptians and then King, I think it was Herod or no, King Amalek, he wanted to, take her as his wife. And Abraham was afraid. So he went through things and he was afraid because Sarah couldn't have kids. And then he had his wife, his concubine in the house, and he decided to try to make something happen. And you know, we read the Bible, and sometimes I don't think we look at the Bible as his life, as it's actually real things happening. I can imagine the chaos that went on up in Abraham's house when he took and had his concubine and had a child, and here his wife could not even have children. Can you even imagine the stress, the weight that came up on his shoulders because he tried to make something happen? And the thing is, Abraham had the promise. God told him. But what did he do? He took his eyes off of God. And he listened and focused on his situations. How many times did we do that? And he started wavering at his faith. And he started saying, I guess I need to make something happen. But when we get in the way, we make things happen that has nothing to do with God. But thank God that he still turns it around and causes it to work for our good, like he did with Abraham. Sarah was 25 years before she had a child. But God was faithful. The promises doesn't change. He said it. It was still settled when he told Abraham years ago, this is what's going to happen. The only thing that changes is us. The word of God never changes. It never changes. And so God strengthened Abraham. He had to come back to him and remind him of what I said to you, Abraham. I see you getting a little weary. I see you getting a little weary and well-doing, but I want to remind you of what I said that belongs to you. You have to endure in the process of life of the things of God. You have to, in order to receive what you and God, what God has said belongs to you. We went through this fast, and some of us, I know I did, we wrote a lot of things down of what we're going to do and what's going to happen and what's happened. Things have come in and distractions and battlefields have happened and the enemies rose up and things have gotten ugly. But you don't forget what God promised you. Yeah, those things are part of the process. They're part of the process. You don't forget what God said to you. You go back and you remind yourself of what God says belongs to you, because you have to endure in this process. As we are suffering something that is or may be painful or difficult patiently, we must know that we are taking steps to achieve the end results that belongs to us according to his word. As we are suffering something that may be painful or difficult, patiently, not anxious, but patiently, we have to know that we are taking the steps to achieve the results that God says belong to us. We got to know that by faith. We got to know that by faith. What has God told you today or yesterday or last year or in your fast? What has God told you? What has God called you to do? What promises has he made to you? You think about that. What has God told you in his word? God's called you to do some things. What has he called you to do? You've sat and you listened to God and you've heard the voice of God, or somebody has come to you and pastor might have said it. You know, that's a word from God. What has he told you to do? What difficult thing are you facing right now? What suffering, what situation that you have right now in your life? Look at your process and use the principles in the Word of God to get the same results. The enemy comes to frustrate the process and to get your eyes off of God and the Word out of your heart. The enemy and life itself comes to frustrate your process. And it comes to take your eyes off of God and to steal that Word out of your heart. Just listen to that. If the enemy can get you focused on your process or your situation, he will keep you in the wilderness like the children of Israel. Because you'll just be going in a circle, right? If the enemy can keep you looking at your finances, how little money you got, or when they told you no, you can't have this, or when your children or your husband is acting up or your wife is acting up, or when you can't stand the people on your job, or when your health is being attacked. If he can keep your eyes focused on that, he will cause you to frustrate the process and keep you in your wilderness, in your misery, in your situation, and he will cause you to not be able to see your way out. That's important, you guys. If your eyes is focused on anything but the Word of God, you are not looking at God. You are looking at your situation. You're looking at what's happening. You're looking at how unhappy you are. You're looking at how depressed you are. You're looking at how sick you are. You're looking at how he or she ain't acting right. You're looking at, it's been a week and nothing's happened. It's been 2 weeks. It's been a month and nothing's happened. The enemy have you looking at your process instead of looking at your promise. There's a difference. There's a difference. The children of Israel, they couldn't move past their capacity to see past their current situation. They couldn't even move past that. They were in the wilderness, even though God clothed them and fed them and kept them, and he promised them the land is all theirs. But they couldn't see past that. They saw lack. They saw poverty. They saw insufficiency. They saw where they were at. And so they never got past their situation or what they could see. You or I cannot move past what we cannot see. Let that soak in. You or I cannot move past what we cannot see. I'm talking with your spiritual eyes. You have to see yourself through it before you actually see it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Because faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things that is not even seen. So you cannot move past what you cannot see. So if you're looking at the situation where you're at, that's all you're going to see. That's all you're going to be. If you look past what you can't see, that means in the spiritual realm, that means calling those things that be not as though they were, then now you can see where you're going. That's why you have an imagination. That's why he says, I give you the desires of your heart. So you can go and see what you want before you actually see it. Seeing it now is the manifestation. Going out into the spiritual realm with your faith is seeing what you can't see. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the children of Israel could not get past sitting in the wilderness. They couldn't see what God says belonged to them, which was outside of the wilderness, which is into the land that's flowing with milk and honey, which is in the promised land. They couldn't see past that. And so God has promised you health. He's promised you peace. He's promised you prosperity, which is wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. He promised you happiness. He promised you stability. He promised you a refuge, a shelter, a hedge, a protection. He's promised you all those things. He said, whatever you ask when you pray, believe you receive it and that you will have it. God said that to us. But we will never receive or obtain that if we can't get past what we cannot see. You have to understand the process of life and enduring. We have to understand what we're supposed to do. God, in his infinite wisdom, purposely and strategically laid out for us these many examples of people in the Bible that went through and endured inside of a process in order to receive what God had for them. Knowing what God said in his word is vital to enduring in the process. We must read the word, we must study the word, and we must apply the word to our lives. We must read it, study, and apply. You can't just be hearing without doing. You have to be a hearer and a doer of the word. You have to read the word, you have to study the word, and you have to apply the word. Those are principles that God wants us to do, that we need to do. Sometimes I think that people separate God and his word. Like, it's like the Bible's one thing and God is one thing. God and his word are the same. First John tells us that in the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word is God. So you can't separate God from his word. He is his word. You have to understand that. So when you are applying the word of God to your situation, it is though God himself, it is speaking exactly to your situation. So you can't separate the two. When you pick up the Bible, you're holding God himself. This is the very word of God. This is living word. This is him speaking. So you have to understand we can't separate the two. And I believe we try to separate the two. Thank you, Lord. You have to apply the principles that they took and did in their lives in the word of God and apply it in our lives. The people in the Bible, they're real people, right? We believe Jesus was real, right? We believe that he's our Savior. He died. So Abraham was real. Joseph, right? Job, those people are real people. Paul, that had real life situations that we can take the principles and apply to our lives. We can't read it like it's a fairy tale. This is life. This is real life. The Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which has been is that which will be again. And that which has been done is that which will be done again. So there is nothing new under the sun. You just have to apply the principles to your life because it's the same God. The Bible tells us what was, it's going to be again. There's nothing new. Different time frame, different areas of life, but it's still principles doesn't change. God doesn't change. You take the word and you apply it to your life. And we can't get complacent with where we're at. Sometimes a little bit of adversity and we pull back. How many of us, I pull back. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. Sometimes you get a little bit of adversity. You just, oh man, I don't want to have to do that. But you don't pull back when there is adversity. You move forward to get out of your comfort zone. You know, when there's a little bit of adversity, don't pull back. That's part of the process, right? The enemy comes to frustrate the process. He wants you to keep your eyes off of God so you stay in your wilderness. But don't pull back because there's a little bit of adversity. You keep pressing forward because God doesn't change. God doesn't change. But we go from glory to glory to glory, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We shouldn't be in the same place we were in last year. We shouldn't be in the same place spiritually that we was last year, because we're supposed to grow in the things of God. We're supposed to go from glory to glory. Every new level is going to bring a different devil, just so you know. Every new level is going to bring a different devil. There's going to be a different attack. There's going to be the enemy waiting to frustrate the process. Don't pull back and don't get complacent where you're at. Don't stay stagnant at where you're at. If you are desiring more of God, guess what? You're going to go through a process. If you want to be the best praise and worship leader, you're going to go through a process. If you want to have the best marriage, you're going to go through a process. You want to be the best on your job or the best parent or whatever it is, you're going to go through a process. You're going to be challenged. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be things that's going to begin the process for you to walk on to receive it. It's already yours, but you have to go and receive it. But there is a process, and you must endure. You must endure. You must endure. We come to church to get fed the word of God. You should come to the house of God with an expectancy to hear from God. And it don't have to be the whole sermon, but one word my pastor's wife used to always say from God will change your life. If pastor says one word, as Sister Hornberger says one word, as Minister Duncan say one word, if I say one word, that's all you need is one word from God that will shift and change your situation. But you must come to the house of God expecting to hear from God. I am the vessel that God chose for this hour. And so you have to expect that what I'm telling you is a word from God in order to receive that word. When you show up at your job, you expect them to pay you, right? You don't just show up and be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to be here today. And then, okay, you don't want your paycheck on Friday. No, I'm good. I'm just going. No, you don't do that. You work 40 hours a week. Guess what? Somebody somewhere going to pay you. You don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to pay you, right? You expect from God, just like you expect from somewhere else. You expect even more. You expect God to heal you. You expect God to love you. You expect God to change you, to deliver you, to set you free, to set your family free. You expect that from God. You don't just show up passing time, because you're not going to get this time back. The time you're logging in today is a time you won't get back. And if you're just playing church or just showing up just to show up, you're missing so much. God has great things for us, but we have to expect it, and we have to be the ones to receive it. This race that we have is not a relay race. You know, I ran track and field when I was in high school, and you run in and you pass the baton, and then that person takes off. That's not the kind of race we're running. You can't pass the baton. You can't give it to Pastor Hornbuckle to run this race for you. You can't. It's your race. It's your process. You can't pass it. He says the race that he's given is for us. It's our race that we have to run it, and we have to finish it. Sometimes we're looking at somebody else to take over, but they can't. It's your race. You can't do it for your husband. You can't do it for your children. You can't do it for anyone but God, for yourself. So this race, you have to do it for yourself. You can't pass the baton. We're talking about the process. Are you guys receiving the word today? Receive the word. Receive the word. It's a process. We're all in one. We're all in a type of process. You're not alone. We're all going through something in life to achieve what God says belongs to us. The moment you and I accept Christ, the moment you and I, as Abraham said, believe God, the process starts. And we just have to walk it out, this race, the steps that God has for us. And whatever he has on that road, on that process, believe it, it's for your good. He's in the process. Amen. Luke 12:48 says, but the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted, much they will demand more. When much is given, much is required. So last year, everything might have been flowing, right? You just, oh man, it was probably the best of the best. Things were just going on and life was good. Everything was lining up and cracking and popping. And then this year you're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to step out and I'm going to do something I ain't never done. And I'm going to just, yeah, I'm going to fast like I've never fasted before. And yeah, I'm going to just trust God. And then all of a sudden, another level, the enemy comes. And now you're thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know if I wanted this, you know, or this can't be God, or we start to back off. Don't back off. Press forward. It's all part of the process. Look at Abraham. Look at Job. Look at Jesus, our Savior. He didn't back off, especially when he came out of his fast. Guess what? He was tempted immediately, right? He was tempted immediately. Continue in your process. Continue in your process. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result. And do endurance have its perfect result and do through work so that you may be perfect and complete, developed in your faith. He says endurance, right? Endurance have its perfect results. We need to do as James tells us. James didn't say it would be joy, but he told us to count it as joy. The things that we're facing, it's not fun. Anybody like persecution? No. It doesn't feel good. Sometimes it can wear you out, right? Sometimes you be in your prayer time, you just feel like, oh my God, I'm just done. He tries to just wear you out. It doesn't feel good to any of us. But James says to count it as joy, right? Because the end result of your process and enduring, you're going to develop spiritual maturity, you're going to have perfect peace, you're going to come out better. So endure it. He didn't say it would be joy. He just said endure it. Count it as joy. If I'm obedient to his word, not perfect, but faithful, then I have to trust he has allowed it to be a part of my process and that is all working for my good according to his word in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan. We just read in Jeremiah 29:11, you're called, right? You're called. He has plans, just like he called Abraham. But what did Abraham have to do? He had to believe what God was saying to him, despite where he came from, where he was trained and raised, everything he knew in his family life. He had to uproot all of that generational stuff and curses and everything. And we don't know the time frame it took for Abraham to believe. I mean, when we read it, it said he believed. But I don't know if it was automatic like that. Because, I mean, you just think about it. There's a lot of things that Abraham had to press through and to believe God. The same thing that you and I are going through just to believe God. We look at circumstances and we look at our lives and it's hard sometimes to believe God, right? It's hard. Let's be honest. It's hard. It's simply said, but it's a process. But Abraham believed God. And don't think it's strange when you're having a hard time believing God. It's not that you don't want to believe God. It's just that it's a process. Get everything out of your way. Clear everything out of your mind and focus on God with his word. Focus on God with his word. Believe that that's God speaking to you. Don't separate God and his word. They're together. They're the same. Believe what God is saying to you and the promises that he made to you. So I got a few simple steps that I'm going to tell you guys so that you can write it down. Because, you know, the process is instructions, right? It's instructions and steps and actions that we take to achieve what God has for us. You don't want to just be out in the wind trying to figure some stuff out. God is a God of order. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's gotten principles laid out in the Bible. You're not just somewhere in the wind loose and don't have direction. There's direction and instructions in his word. You have to take the steps necessary. It's like if you say you want this job, you have to apply for the job, fill out the application, answer all the questions in order for the people to call you back for the job interview, right? There's instructions, there's applications, there's a process that takes place. We get in the house in the word of God and we think it's just going to fall on our lap. It doesn't work that way. You have to do something. You have to do something. And a lot of times we're not getting the results that we want because we're not doing something, number one, or we're not doing the right thing, or we're not doing it long enough, because you can't do it for a week and then say, well, it didn't work. Well, how do you know? Oh, how do you know a week is long enough? How do you know that there's not something God's trying to get out of you order for him to give you what you need? Well, how do you know there's not something he needs to peel off or a door he needs to shut over here to open the door over here? You can't get frustrated in the process. So there's some steps that you need to do. They're simple, but they're beneficial. Number one, speak the word only in faith and trust. It's important that you believe what the words say. When God put the word in the Bible that Abraham believed God, that's important. That's important to receive the promise. He believed what the word of God was saying to him. You have to believe that word. Whatever pressure rises up, whatever disaster or temptation that comes your way, you must speak the word only. And you have to find that word that you need in his word. You have to find that word that you need in his word. So if you are going through and you're struggling and you feel you can't do stuff, even if you find the word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. If you say that, if you only say that all the time with faith and belief, then guess what? You will do all things through Christ who strengthened you. You have to find the word that you need and speak that word only. You are powerless using the word without trusting and believing the word. You can't do nothing. If you don't believe and trust it, there's no power. There's no power in saying something you don't believe in God's word. And you can back it up with scripture. In Acts 19:11, the seven sons of Sceva, Paul was doing extraordinary miracles by his hands, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. And the seven sons of Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirits answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? Who are you? So you can't just be speaking something that you don't believe and have faith in. You can't be just doing it because you saw a pastor doing it. Yeah, imitate those who imitate Christ, right? You have to follow those. But you also have to trust that what pastor is saying is the word of God. Because he could say something that ain't got nothing to do with God. So you just gonna say that? You have to know that it's the word of God. And if he's speaking the word of God, by faith, you have to say what he is saying and believe it in order to receive it. Number two is worship. Praise and worship, like we just did when I started the lesson, is a weapon. You must develop a relationship of worshiping God to endure in the process. Paul and Silas knew how to worship and praise God. In Acts 16, 25 through 26, but about midnight, when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so powerful that the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the doors were open and every chains were unfastened. Through praise and worship, you may not be in a physical prison, but you can be in the prison of your mind, a prison to your past, a prison to your inadequacies. Praise and worship will cause those chains to loose and let you go. We're talking about how to endure in the process. And third, give thanks. Giving God thanks, a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, regardless of your circumstance or situation, is that joy that James is speaking about. Not that the situation is joyous, but my God is still worthy, right? Give God thanks in your process, right? And fourth, the last one, getting ready to close here, is be consistent in your faith walk. Be consistent. If you fall down, dust yourself off and get back up. You may get bruised, but you're not broken. You may be hurt, but you're not defeated. Get back up. We all fall down. We've all stumbled. But you can never lose if you don't get back up. If you get back up, you win, right? If you stay down, you lose. If you stay there, you lose. If you get up, you win. So these are the things that you have to do. I have more, but I want to cut it short because I have a lot and we went a little long today. But I want to encourage you to endure in your process of life. I want to encourage you to take the principles and to take the things that I've told you, the steps and rehearse them and find a word to apply to your situation. And don't count it strange when you're going through trials and tribulation, because we all are going through something at some different time or another, because that's part of the process. When much is given, much will be required. When we're wanting more of God, there's going to be a process. When we want to do something different, when we want to trust God for our family, whatever it is, we're going to go from glory to glory. You can't stay where you're at. You have to press past that. You have to press past that. Glory to God. And so I want to give any one of you that, you know, I can't run your race for you, but I can pray your strength in the Lord that your faith fails you not. The Bible tells us that, right? I can't take the baton for you. I can't run the race. I can't do it for you. But I can pray for you, and I can pray your strength, and I can pray that you will continue and that your faith doesn't fail you as you endure. I can encourage you. I can undergird you with prayer. I can lift you up before the Lord so you can continue to fight the good fight of faith. And so I open that up. If anybody up here want me to pray for you to that your faith doesn't fail you, that you can continue to endure, come up here so I can pray for you, so I can encourage you. Iron sharpens iron. We encourage each other in the things of God, right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God.
I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this message. Know that God loves and cares for you deeply. You know, we all have struggles in our life, tough times, and much more. But God is about to do great things in your life. Remember the scripture found in Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's your season for breakthrough. Don't give up. Don't stop. Trust God to bring you through. God bless you.
I would like to take the time to thank all listeners of the Lily Kojic Podcast. I pray that you or someone close to you was truly blessed by the messages that we bring to you weekly. As we go forward, we ask that you share the podcast with as many people as possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 states, "So neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God gives the increase." Our goal is to expand this ministry to reach more people with the good news of the gospel. You can help us achieve that goal by supporting us with a donation of any amount. We have a donation button located on our podcast page that allows you to support this ministry. Thank you, and God bless.